You are listening to the Simple Living Made Simple podcast. My name is Stephanie, and I'm a wife, mother of four, and the creator of the blog Simple Living Made Simple, formerly Winging It on the Homestead. I am far from an expert, but I am learning and growing and figuring the simple living self-sufficiency thing out as I go. I love to help encourage modern mothers to incorporate simple living and self-sufficiency skills and knowledge into their busy lives. Join me this season as I interview homesteading experts on a variety of timely and important topics and share with you my appreciation for creating a homemade and homegrown life through gardening, food preservation, cooking from scratch, making your own products, all while keeping it all practical, intentional, and realistic. Hi guys, welcome back to the Simple Living Made Simple podcast. Today, I have an interview with Alicia DeVore from Create My Garden. She has a wonderful website, Instagram, and courses all designed to help you get started gardening and become a better gardener. She also specializes with getting kids in the garden, working right alongside with you, learning with you, and how to actually get them interested and invested in the gardening process. This was a really great episode because it's something that I'm dealing with as well as far as getting my kids involved. I learned a lot, and she was a lot of fun to talk to. So I hope you enjoy this episode. Hi, guys. Welcome back to the Simple Living Made Simple podcast. I'm really excited for my guest today. Her name is Alicia, and she is with Create My Garden, and she is a gardening expert that specializes in getting your kids involved in the garden, digging in the dirt, really bringing them along for the ride and your whole gardening journey. And we are talking all things getting started with the garden, getting your kids involved, and all of that. So hi, Alicia. I'm so excited to have you. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
Could you tell me a little bit about yourself and your garden business, your garden journey, what that's kind of looked like for you?
Absolutely. Years ago, I was a teacher and I had so much time on my hands to think and process. And I thought, okay, gardening is something I don't want to do. Gardening is something that I kill. I kill every plant. But when I had kids, I started homeschooling and I realized that the garden could be a place that we could learn together. I was totally scared of gardening still. And my oldest son at the time was 10. And he was like, Mom, please, can we just have a garden? Looking at my third grader at that time saying, hey, I need to provide something that you can learn. And realizing it was a life skill that I really wanted to give him. And I wanted to give myself as a gift. We went ahead and went on that journey, and my husband built a couple beds, and I had no idea what I was doing. I had no friends. I had no support, and we started that first garden, and absolutely everything died in that garden, and I called the soil company that we got the soil from, and they said, oh, it's missing nitrogen. No idea what nitrogen was. I had no idea what I was doing, so that someone came out and brought some nitrogen, threw it out. And we were living in Los Angeles at the time, so the weather is amazing. And I threw out some seeds, and in that fall garden, absolutely everything grew. And I was completely hooked. To think that something would grow without me taking too much care of it or needing to talk to it. You know, as a mom and as a homeschooling mom, I had three small kids. I didn't want to talk to anybody. And going out to the garden, I could be with my kids. They could put their hands in the soil. They could have some sensory excitement of being able to be outside and learn with their mom and also be quiet with their mom. Mm-hmm. It was a great first experience.
That's awesome. I love how you like went on the journey with your kids. I think that's so important because I think as like adults, we think we have learned everything, but there's always things that if we're taking on to learn, we can always take our kids along with it. So that's really cool. I also like how you talked about that you didn't have to do too much, like things just grew. And I think that's kind of something that maybe we'll talk about that in a minute, but how people, when they first start gardening, they think they have to be so involved, you know, but plants have been growing for a long time, you know?
Absolutely. I think the perfectionism, which I am someone who likes to have things be successful, and to know that I fail that first time, and that with just a little tweak, something can still grow, and I'm not in charge of it really anymore was such a freeing concept for my heart. And it let my kids see that you can fail and you can start again. And I think that was a really, really important part of our homeschooling journey.
That's awesome. So where are you at now? Like, what does your gardens look like this year that you're either planted or getting ready to plant?
So I have 8 raised beds.
No.
And I'm testing out metal beds versus cedar. I've got in-ground beds where I will be planting in about a month, about 50 tomatoes and 20 different summer squashes. And I'm just going to, I have all of those things getting ready to happen. I have a tea garden
that
just keeps on growing. I now live in Northern California, so I had to really switch up and change how I did gardening. And that's when I had to relearn what gardening was. And that was a very helpful process for my understanding with climate and temperature and plants. So this year I've got my green stocks. I have about 5 green stocks going. I don't know if you've heard of those before with vertical planters. I've got strawberries and I've got lettuce growing and celery and herbs in there. So just planted out a few more cool season crops yesterday because crazy climate weather has stopped me from doing it when it was supposed to happen a month ago.
Right.
So just finished planting out some cool weather crops yesterday and I actually put that on my Instagram. Or it's coming this week.
That's cool.
To just show people that you can do this in 10 minutes.
Yeah, definitely.
You can do 10-minute gardening.
That's awesome. So it sounds like you've evolved a lot and probably have made tweaks throughout the year from one year to the next. And I was actually going to ask you about that. So like, what are some of the adjustments you make from like one year to the next? Or what are some things you look at when you're like evaluating at the end of the gardening season to increase your production or your efficiency for like the upcoming year?
I think that is such a great question. Location is the first thing I check out with any part of my garden. For instance, I started using 2 new metal beds because I wanted to test out how those would work. And I planted them in a part of my garden that in the summertime gets full direct sun. And I just assumed that part of the garden is still going to get sun. I planted out all my cool season crops in the fall and nothing grew.
Yeah.
It was so cold and shady, and it was such a disappointment. So looking at that area, I now realize that next year I'm going to plant my garlic and my onions in those 2 beds and not waste it, but use it for a benefit. That garlic does love sun, but it will last and do well in that shaded area also. I'm also really looking at the 6 raised beds that I have that I plant out all year long. And I'm wanting to make it just so effective that if someone only had 2 or 3 beds, what can they grow all year long that will give them 20 to 30% of food every week that would give them nutrients? So that's kind of something I'm gardening now in the perspective of someone who has never done it before or wants to step up their production of food all year long. And so how can I keep growing lettuce all year is one of my experiments. I've got a special shade cloth I just bought, and it's going to help through the summer. So I'm testing out how can I make it so that food is a part of our lives, and I have my little mini grocery store in the backyard.
Yeah, that's really cool. I think for me, I know the first thing was when we started gardening was kind of trying to figure out how to do it. But then like every year it's like, okay, let's do a little bit more. Let's kind of grow it a little bit. And now I'm kind of at the point where it's like, all right, I really need to be productive, you know, and utilize and maximize our space. So I'm sure you have those kind of different tiers.
I think the biggest thing is to grow things that you love.
Yeah. Right.
Only grow the tomato types that you'll actually eat and be able to preserve. I decided that one section of my garden is going to be asparagus. So we planted out asparagus this spring. I realized that I need to get some edible landscaping happening more. So we're going to plant out 5 blueberries in containers because our soil is not going to be acidic enough for it.
Right.
So I think what I'm doing is I add one or two new things mm-hmm. that could provide some perennials in the area, with the blueberries, with the asparagus being able to last 15 to 20 years. Mm-hmm. And I say, looking at what you have, like blessing your heart mm-hmm. for what you have done, saying, wow, other people aren't doing this. I am doing this. Last year, my tomato crops were full. Mm-hmm. And it's because my seedlings had a hard start and had been watered too much. And my grow lights weren't working right. Mm-hmm. And things weren't in place. And so my production last year, my tomatoes wasn't great. But the tomatoes, the small tomatoes that I planted inside of my garden beds, mm-hmm. I planted four of them. They produced more than probably 20 of my tomato plants that were in ground.
Yeah.
And that was fascinating. So this year I'm going to be adding 10 to 12 tomatoes in ground.
Yeah.
And seeing how that changes the environment for how they can grow better.
Yeah, that's a good point. So you're kind of like, when I look at like all the content you have, the really great content you have, you really also focus on getting your kids involved in gardening. So could you give me, as a mother of five now, I mean, I have some of the, it's varying ages, you know, so it's, some of them are great getting in the garden. Some of them, it's just like, how can I logistically make this happen with my kids, you know? So can you give me some tips on how to realistically involve your kids in gardening and actually be productive and successful in growing your own food?
Well, I think having your kids have their own little spaces in the garden. So if each of them can have their own little container or area in the garden that is theirs, and mm-hmm. you go ahead and talk about what you want to eat, and go ahead and go to a farmer's market with them. That's one of the first things I recommend mm-hmm. is heading to a farmer's market when it's warm enough, grabbing one piece of fruit or one vegetable, and then going to the grocery store and picking out the same thing and having them do a taste test.
Okay.
I think the buy-in for kids is if they feel like they're going to have to grow something that they don't want to eat, who wants to do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if they have a buy-in of, wow, this tastes so much better when it's fresh out of a garden. And just mm-hmm. wait, it's going to happen here. The second thing that I think is really great with kids is sprouting seeds. Yeah. So pick some fast-growing seeds, like cucumbers for summer, summer squash, watermelons. Those are fast beans, mm-hmm. bush beans. Mm-hmm. Pick any one of those seeds and have them use those to start growing. They can't water too much on those mm-hmm. at the beginning, mm-hmm. right? Because germination needs water. And then once they start sprouting, it's a miracle.
Yeah.
And you can talk about what miracle is happening, that each seed has a backpack of nutrients and fun things inside of it, mm-hmm. that it is created to then produce a stem and roots to be able mm-hmm. to stabilize it and create plant.
Mm-hmm.
I equate plants to plant needs to our needs. And so if I can get students to see that they are taking care of something really special, like we need to take care of our own bodies and our own hearts, then it kind of translates to them wanting to be a part of the garden a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
My youngest son is 13 and he's autistic and he is not extremely verbal, but he goes out to the garden with me every day. And he'll pick up chickens or he'll help me carry things to the compost. And he's the one that's helping me plant the seeds at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a kid who was not interested at all, but he knows that mommy's heart is in a garden mm-hmm. and he wants to be close to that heart too.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the connection is the last thing I would just recommend is knowing that you're not wasting time. Even if it feels like you're not getting your tasks done and you're getting distracted by your kids, that they're going to pick up on the things that are important. And if it's not today, it may be tomorrow, that just a little bit more they pick up in being with you and seeing what's valuable in life.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. Yeah. It's really beautiful too, just being able to enjoy that time. And like you said, not not feel like you're wasting time, even though it feels like you're constantly being distracted and pulled away. For us, we also plant a bunch of like snacking, you know, snacking plants like cherry tomatoes and snap peas and stuff, because otherwise they'll be like Peter Rabbits and we'll like just eat everything. So like these are like, they're snacking, you know, when we're outside, you can snack on these plants and they enjoy that because that just gets them in there. They get them, that gets them into the garden anyways. And then, you know, they kind of stay around. So that's a lot of fun too.
I love that. I have never heard of that.
Oh, really?
I love that. Here's your snacking wall of food.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. Because otherwise they'd eat all the stuff that I plan to use anyway. So I plant extra cherry tomatoes, snap peas. I don't know what else is there. Just like maybe peppers, like some things they can snack on. Well, and then they're excited because they can just freely roam them and, you know.
That is so beautiful. I love that.
Yeah. No, thanks. So also I'm interested because there's always debates or like different suggestions, but I want to know what your preferences are on seeds versus starts. And let's just say for someone that's just starting, right? Or raised beds versus in-ground beds. How do you determine what is best to use?
Well, I think it definitely depends on the crop. Mm-hmm. And there are specific crops that for spring mm-hmm. and for summer that do so much better with seeds being directly sown mm-hmm. into the ground with the right temperature. So for a beginner, I would say for a spring, look 6 to 8 weeks before your last frost and go ahead and plant your root vegetables mm-hmm. and your lettuces and your spinach by seed outdoors. Mm-hmm. For summertime, I would highly recommend going for 70 degrees outside mm-hmm. so it's warm enough for those seeds to germinate. And I would go ahead and plant out cucumbers, summer squash, winter squash, bush beans, whole beans, watermelons. I would even do okra at that point. And waiting for your season to warm up, those are all fast-growing crops that you're not going to have to plant indoors yet. But when I think of tomatoes and peppers and eggplants, they need 2 to 3 months of time to grow before they should be planted outside, and then still it takes another month and a half to get any produce from those. So definitely those three are my tops that I start indoors 2 to 3 months before that 65-70 degree warm season crop to plant. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's my recommendation to keep it simple.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Good guideline to follow.
If you're not planting any of your own seeds, mm-hmm. who cares? Mm-hmm. So buy some transplants and just get it out in the garden at the right timing.
Yeah, I agree with that. We always start seeds and then we always have stuff fail or just not transplant well or whatever. So then I'm like, well, there's always starts. Let's just go to the store and get starts. So I always try to like, you know, tune in our seed starting skills, but there's always something I end up picking up at the store, you know.
Exactly. I totally understand.
And sometimes, you know, it's also cost effective too, depending on what you're going to buy, you know, like watermelon. I'm not going to plant a whole packet of seeds worth of watermelon, you know, so maybe just grabbing a watermelon plant at the store is all you need to do.
I love it.
Okay, so let's see. And what would you determine, what do you use to determine whether or not you're using raised beds or containers versus like in-ground beds? Is it more just like your location or your soil that you have?
Great question. I like to use in-ground beds for my summer produce because I have so much more space and I'm canning for a whole year. I'm wanting to have things preserved and I need more space. In-ground beds provide that for me. Mm-hmm. After my summer season, I go ahead and cover crop everything in my in-ground beds. So I only use my in-ground beds for that period of time in the summer. Mm-hmm. I love using my raised beds for the rest of the year. It is easier to water, maintain, check for bugs, put nutrients back in. It's easier to protect with plant cloth when it's cool season. And, you know, it's easier to put sunshade mm-hmm. on with hoops. It's a lot harder to do that in ground and be able to check things and make sure everything's going well.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed my raised beds because like yesterday planting out my late spring crops, I didn't have to bend over.
Right.
I just dug and put it in and I didn't have weeds. I love that.
Yeah.
I didn't have, I didn't have things that were stopping me in, like in the past. When I plant out my 50 to 60 tomato plants, it is backbreaking. And I have to spend, you know, a full day working so hard. And the dirt, I'm still, you know, always replenishing my soil from dirt. And so I just think being able to plant in a raised bed brings me more joy than the in-ground beds. So there's two purposes for me. Mm-hmm. If you're wanting to produce enough to last for the year and to preserve, then in-ground beds are a great way to go.
Yeah.
But if you're just wanting to use 20 to 30% of production all year long, then making your raised beds work for you and not preserving a ton of it, but using it as fresh food is probably the way to go.
All right. That's good. It's good that there's options. Like, I think a lot of people think they're stuck with what they have location-wise or property-wise, but there's so many different options as far as where and how you can plant. What would you say in your experience is the biggest mistake that new gardeners make, like in their first year of gardening? What would you say the biggest mistake is?
Absolutely location. I just worked with a client a month ago that has been trying to grow tomatoes. That's all she wants to grow, beginner gardener. And that's all she wants is tomatoes, and she cannot get tomatoes to grow. So she and I went through the simple gardening method and processed it out and have been kind of talking back and forth. And it was because she was only getting 4 hours of sun.
Oh, wow.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
You're good.
She was only getting 4 hours of sun on her raised beds.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And tomatoes need 6+ hours of direct sun. Mm-hmm. And if that photosynthesis isn't happening, then nothing's growing. So she just went outside and did a little test that I have my clients do on doing sun shading and checking for the sun. And she was astonished that on her 1 acre property, there was only one sliver of space that wasn't covered by trees.
Wow.
That she would have full direct sun, and they just put some raised garden beds there, and she's so excited because she knows that's the solution.
Yeah.
That's help.
So location in general. Yeah.
I have another client who made these gorgeous, beautiful raised beds, and nothing's growing, or it's just growing very minimally, and it's very discouraging.
Yeah.
And there's too much shade, and I don't know how to help that besides, say, find another spot.
Yeah, that's one of my issues, too, is just because I'm like, oh, it's fine. It gets enough sun. But no, it really doesn't. Like, if it needs full sun, it really needs full sun. Yeah, there's no getting around that. All right. So for some of the listeners that may have had gardens for a few years or a little bit more experienced, and this year they're looking to maybe take it to the next level and have like a bigger impact on the food they produce, what would you recommend, like taking that step to just like having a small garden, like a kitchen garden that you're just eating fresh, to actually taking to a productive, perhaps preserving garden?
So you've been gardening for a while and you want to add something to the next level of gardening. I would definitely recommend making sure that you have herbs in your garden. Herbs provide some wonderful, things like protection and flowers. And what you can use from herbs is making your own herbal teas, your own herbal tinctures for health, infused oils. I use infused oils for my daughter's eczema, and I use it from the garden. Drying your own spices. There's such an added benefit of learning and growing when you add herbs to your garden. And you can do that by having it in a green stock, which is like a vertical planter, or just in your in-ground beds, all work beautifully. And then the second thing I would add is definitely pollinators to your garden.
Mm-hmm.
I would go ahead and have herbs that also act as pollinators, like lavender, echinacea, yarrow, calendula. And some of those in the different areas of the United States are perennials. So you plant them once and they're going to keep coming back.
Mm-hmm.
So that is one that I would recommend. It's a double duty benefit for your garden with herbs for your own health, learning how to use it, and then the pollination that happens from many of those herbs.
I love that. What's your favorite herb to grow, would you say?
Oh my goodness.
Hard to pick one.
So many. Calendula is probably my very favorite. Because I can chop and drop it at the end of the season.
Okay.
And I don't have to replant. It replants on its own.
Oh, well, that's nice.
I love the stickiness of it.
Mm-hmm.
I know people may not like it, but when you pluck it off and I dry it in my dehydrator, and the calendula flowers are just the best in oil. I use apricot oil or olive oil, and then I infuse that. And then it is a very expensive oil that people pay a lot of money for. And here I have it year round.
That's awesome. Yeah. It sounds like you can really make like just a big impact to your self-sufficiency by having herbs and flowers and like, you know, all that stuff that you wouldn't normally think about. There's a lot of things you can do with it.
And plus your garden just loves it.
Yeah.
Like your garden will flourish with the natural protectors of the scents that herbs bring in. Mm-hmm. It's just fascinating to me.
That's awesome. That's probably what I will be doing this year, hopefully. I have a lot of herbs, but yeah, I would love to dry all of our own herbs. Like that just would make a big impact to just my pantry too, you know, is to be able to just have all of our own dried herbs, not having to even purchase them.
I have about 50 tinctures that
do
I have
you? Oh, wow.
The herbs in my garden, and I highly recommend it for health.
Yeah.
And then I love making a salt out of my herbs.
Okay.
And it's the thing I give for Christmas gifts.
Yeah.
People die for these herb salts because you can still taste the garden.
Wow.
And
that's awesome.
You're cooking all year and it's preserved in the salt. I don't have to keep it in the fridge or anything. Mm. So it's a great way to go.
That's so cool. Okay. So, how much time do you think a week does it actually realistically take to plant a garden and to maintain it?
Okay, that is another amazing and wonderful question. So if you have a garden that is a 3x8, so one garden bed, you can produce up to about 180 pounds of food if you're using that garden space all year.
Wow.
So in that one garden bed, you can spend 5 to 10 minutes, maybe 3 times a week, and that's all you need to maintain it. I wrote a really fun course on 10-minute gardening, and I made habit trackers for every season.
Oh, nice.
So that you put the habit tracker and say, oh, what do I need to do this month at the beginning of my spring season? And you just pick 3 things for that week.
Cool.
And spend 10 minutes. Yesterday, when I was planting out for my spring, I just did not feel like it, but I kept saying to myself, 10 minutes, here I go, in 10 minutes. So in 10 minutes, I put out my compost, I put out my amendments for the one bed.
Wow.
And then I said, I have another 10 minutes. So in 10 minutes, I went ahead and pulled out the plants and put them where I wanted them to go.
Mm-hmm.
And in the next 10 minutes, is planting it out. And yes, I spent 30 minutes in my garden yesterday. It was really refreshing, but I didn't have to. I could have done it in 10-minute increments throughout 3 days.
Wow. That's certainly doable. So anyone that says they don't have enough time, they can reevaluate that because it's certainly doable to maintain a garden.
Yeah.
One of the things I always ask people is, because I think people that garden, that homestead, that do all of this are always learning. It's like a lifelong learning process for them. So what kind of skills are you learning right now?
I'm actually learning about keto.
Okay.
Friendly stuff and how to use my garden with the keto.
Nice.
I have learned in the past how to do sourdough, einkorn, do my own breads. I've done cheese making. I've done tinctures, teas. I have taken probably so many courses, and I have had so much fun learning each of those things. But right now it's how do you incorporate a lifestyle of keto eating and using a garden for health.
Cool.
So, that's
awesome. All right. So thank you so much for joining me. I learned a lot with the gardening as far as, I don't know, just kind of how to take it to the next level and everything. Cause that's where we're at with our garden this year. But could you tell me where my audience can find you and tell me a little bit about the courses that you offer?
Absolutely. I'm at createmygarden.net and I teach a 12-week course. It's a signature course for kids. So if you're a homeschooler and you don't have a garden or you're just started a garden, in this 3-month course, I walk you through on a Zoom and everything weekly with some awesome information so that by the end of 3 months, you have a garden growing and you feel like you have support. I also offer a Kickstart consult for people. And for 45 minutes on Zoom, we will kickstart your garden into being productive and figure out the points that maybe stopped you gardening in the past or are obstacles in the future that I can help you figure out and put together. I also have a lot of mini courses that are super fun, like growing 5 different herbs in your garden to make tea all year long. And I have a course, like I mentioned before, the 10-minute gardening that is super, super effective, super fun. So go ahead and take a look at those things that I have offered. And I'm here to make gardening a space that people feel safe in, have fun in, can be encouraged in. And so I'm always available for that.
Awesome. So that's createmygarden.net. And I'll include all of the links and everything in the show notes so they can find you.
Awesome.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me. This was a lot of fun.
Thank you, Stephanie.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Simple Living Made Simple podcast. I have a brand new guide out that is just perfect for this time of year. The Ultimate Fruit and Vegetable Seasonal Guide is now available and you can grab it for free at www.savemyveggies.com. If you are like me, you have thrown away produce that you just never got a chance to use. I used to do this all the time. Especially this time of year, as my harvest starts coming in, it can be difficult to properly store everything and make sure I either preserve it in time or use it up. That's why I created this guide. This guide has everything you need to stop wasting fruits and vegetables that you either grow yourself or purchase at the store. Learn how to properly store 25 plus fruits and vegetables to help them stay fresher longer. This guide also includes a month-by-month seasonal timeline so you know when to stock up on inexpensive and high-quality fruits and vegetables to save you time and money. Again, you can grab that free guide at www.savemyveggies.com. As always, if you have any questions, want gardening advice, or have a topic suggestion for the podcast, please email me at info@wingitonthehomestead.com.